Welcome to New Realities. My name is Alan Steinfeld, and today I have a very special panel of guests who are leading thinkers in the field of the evolution of consciousness. And I've been doing this show for about 15 years, and I've researched many avenues of thought, and today I feel like I'm bringing it all together. So we have people from all over the world, from many different spiritual traditions, and tonight we're going to have a discussion and see where all these pieces lead and what the next step in our growth of humanity is. So thank you for watching, and I'll introduce tonight's guests. On my right is Paul Lowe, who is Paul's main teaching is to actualize your maximum potential, and that's by living in the moment and being as present as you can be. And he's going to bring that body of a lifetime of knowledge to us. To Paul's left is Natasha Kolesar, who's the founder of IDEAL, the Institute for the Development of Education, Arts, and Leisure. And she is quite a mystic and scholar and visionary. To my right here is Yasuhiko Kimura, who is one of the creative thinkers of our day. He's written a book called Think Cosmically, Act Globally, and we'll be taking off from there. He has a institute called Vision in Action, and he's put out a journal of integral thinking for vision in action. He'll be talking to us about putting your passion into action. To my left here is Dr. J.J. Hertog. He is a linguist, scholar, a mystic of the highest order. He's had some very interesting experiences where he's brought back information from the other levels. To Dr. Hertog's left is Jenaba, who is a esoteric astrologer and trained in ancient African history and traditions, and brings her body of knowledge of astrology and the evolution of our consciousness, like all the people here at the table. And to Jennifer's left is John Anthony West, a rogue Egyptologist. He wrote a television show called The Mystery of the Sphinx about 10 years ago, where he claimed that the Sphinx and civilization itself was far older than we have previously been thought to believe it is. So John has recently produced something called The Magical Egypt, a Symbolist Tour, and he'll be talking about ancient civilizations and the evolution of our consciousness. So thank you all for being here. I'm very excited, and it'll be a free-form sort of conversation. I'd like to start, though, with this book that Yasuhiko Kimura wrote called Think Cosmically, Act Globally, and that's taken from Buckminster Fuller's term, Think Globally, Act Locally. So, in this book, you talk about the evolution of consciousness itself and where we're going as a group mind, in a sense. Can you explain a little more what you mean cosmically?
Yes. You know, all of us at this table have had an experience of this universe, the dimension of perfection. It's almost like when you make embroidery or Tibetan carpet. On the surface, front side, it is pure beauty. When you look at the other side, it is kind of chaotic. So we have seen this perfection. When you have the moment of enlightenment, you see this perfection in timeless beauty. And we have a choice. Some of us want to just stay there. And many of us would like to interact with people whose consciousness is still locked into the other side of the embroidery. And there are people like Paul who invite people, others, to see the other side of this embroidery, this perfection, through this timeless experience of now. And there are others who invite others to partake on an action through which you want to transform the other side of the embroidery as well, in the image of the front side. So thinking cosmically is to think from that perfection, and act globally is to bring people on this planet together in the process of transforming the other side, the dimension of time, the dimension of phenomena, where there are changes and there are transformations and evolutions. So once we, you know, so on the other side of the embroidery, the evolution has been taking place. But now, some of us who have seen the other side, coming from that cosmic thinking, we can actually merge into the creativity of the universe itself. Therefore, the evolution is no longer a process of nature. We become the creativity itself. Therefore, the evolutionary process becomes the creative process. And it is like people call conscious evolution, but it is more than conscious evolution. You become the force that transforms the field of consciousness itself. So that is the essence of think cosmically, act globally.
It's beautifully stated, and it's a nice place to begin because we are actually weaving that tapestry, all of us, and we're pulling all those pieces. This is combined with some of the work you've been doing. Can you add to Yasuhiko's comment?
I would say, on the basis of this very outstanding synthesis you've given us, I would like to mention that at the United Nations, many of my colleagues who are evolutionary biologists are beginning to look beyond the veil of planet Earth and recognize that evolution doesn't stop with their planet. At the same time, if you do not see the spatial frontiers of where we can go in this dynamic generation, perhaps we will lose out that wonderful vision of seeing both sides, the cosmic and the global picture. So we have to take, as it were, responsibility for redefining our whole concept of evolution to being the higher evolution, the greater process, which takes account not only of who we are as human participants on Mother Earth, but who we can become with the greater consciousness resources we all have. A dear colleague, Rashmi Meyer, who recently passed away, said 1/3 of the human race lives now in the shadow of death. Why? Because we do not understand the balances, the resources, the powers of the mind and body and spirit that we all represent here at this table. So this is really a launching point for a whole new understanding of the cosmic side of evolution.
Well, I think this ties into what Natasha is doing at IDEAL, because you are bringing consciousness to a prenatal level. And can you add to this and talk about how that works?
I will say that to become like my dear colleague closer to me said, there is a passage, there is a bridge for this beauty of cosmic vision. And it was given to the humanity. We had 500 years. This passage, globally, we had to develop a kind of new vision to accept a new light. And it started with discoveries with Newton, Galileo Galilei, Giordano Bruno, Kepler, etc. So in 1514, this passage globally for all humanity started, and it will finish very soon, so 2014, for 500 years on a mental level to accept a certain amount of light and to have this new vision. And then for the feelings, the time is shorter. We started 1914. So 100 years, we can see how the feelings are shocked. Wars and camps and all suffering during last century. So we will again finish this passage for the feelings 2014. But individually, so this is conscious passage, then for the feelings, and then individually we call it mystical passage or mystical initiation. And then each person has its right moment when we accomplished, when we assimilated necessary light, mm-hmm. necessary amount of light, mm-hmm. of understanding, then we just do a switch. Some will call it quantic jump. Mm-hmm. So then mystically we did already, and then we have both visions. From the top of the carpet and from the bottom, and then we can really be the servant of humanity. We can help humanity because humanity becomes our family. Mm. We become one.
But what in your institute, what are you doing particularly?
So,
yes.
If we prepare the parents with this vision, both parents are extremely important for the future child. Mm-hmm. Then the child will be a complete being. Instead to be a creature, the child can become creator. Mm-hmm. And the father gives certain energies that mm-hmm. just he can do it. Then the mother can do a special work, and then the child will become healthy, intelligent, well-balanced, etc., etc. And yeah. they can attract the beings, the servants, the benefactors for humanity.
And that's what is happening, conscious conception that
conscious
way. And
conception.
That's the angle that you're working at. I mean,
yes.
I think Paul is working at a different aspect of that, where you're bringing people to be self-responsible in the moment. That's how I see your work. How would you see it fitting into this larger context?
I'm sitting here trying to see how it fits into the larger context.
Yeah.
And almost everything that's been said I connect with.
Yes.
But the thing that flashed was when you were reading the title of the book was this is what came just now.
Yeah.
It is about the now, and I'm loving being here, and I'm loving being with you all. And what I get from this is we're producing something here. Because we're so in harmony and we look the same way, and I think we've gone beyond our self-focusing into something bigger. We've created something. Mm. So what I connected with is when enough of us start to get rid of the terms them and us, when there's only us, there is no them, we'll bring a new energy and it'll happen on its own. But while we've got this division in any way, which is also on the inside, because we've got a them and thus on the inside, the part we accept and we don't accept, as these come together, and then we all start to see that everybody that's starving is us, that these are our children. Everybody is really one. It isn't just a New Age saying. Mm. It is a fact. We are all connected. And when this starts to come together and we start to see this instead of being against, I think we'll create a whole new vibration that will just pop us all.
Thanks. What's your opinion, Geneva? I mean, you've been working in the field of understanding humanity from a kind of astrological level. Is that time coming soon? Could you see that?
Yes. We are on the orb of tremendous change. And just from saying, as being a teacher and working in the black community, there is a lot of work that has to be done educationally for people to love themselves and not hate themselves, so that the homicide rate and the these things, we must start with ourselves. This whole, we can't think cosmically until we take time and go within to ourselves. That's the key.
Thank you. And in Egypt, I mean, if you want to bring a historical perspective to this discussion, because Egypt was a society that did attain a level of high consciousness. And how did it get there, and what happened with it?
How it got there is a big mystery, actually, because it starts at its height very close to its beginning around, or dynastic Egypt anyway, around 3000 BC. Mm. And it then declines very slowly. It stays intact and coherent for 3000 years, so they must be doing something right. Mm-hmm. But it's going downhill all along. And I think this has actually takes us into a discussion which we won't get into because we don't have time, but into the whole Hindu idea of the Kali Yuga, mm-hmm. of the Yuga cycle, in which there is a huge cycle mm-hmm. of humanity of, in Platonic terms, a golden age, a silver age, a bronze age,
right, but
and
we're
an
coming,
iron age.
We're coming back, it seems like from this discussion, we're coming back now to the top of that cycle.
I mean, well, no, hopefully. We're coming maybe out of the bottom of it,
right.
Possibly, maybe. Okay. I must say, I'm less of an optimist than some of the other people at the table here, because I think that it's going to get worse before it starts mm. getting better. Well, mm. But it might do that. But again, there are basically, mm. I see it, that there are three ways to learn a lesson. Mm-hmm. There's the hard way, there's the harder way, and then the third one, I'll tell you in a second. The hard way is you want to, if you want to be a violinist or a baseball player, uh-huh. every bit of your energy has to go into mastering that particular skill. Mm-hmm. That's hard, but there's a joy to it. Mm-hmm. The harder way is if you're an alcoholic or a drug addict, mm-hmm. you have to hit the absolute bottom, mm-hmm. and then you have a choice. You're going to die or you're going to do whatever you can to survive.
Right.
That's the harder way. And then the third way is the grace of God, and you can't count on that.
That's true, but understand from Egypt is that the Egyptians had a facility. I mean, as humans, they've actualized a high potential of that facility.
Yes, they understood that we are, as human beings, here on Earth for a purpose, and that purpose is, however it's phrased, the attainment of a higher level of consciousness. Mm. It is there. That's the, actually, I like Yasuhiko's image mm-hmm. of the tapestry, where there is a finished side, which is the aim of the whole exercise, and then there's the back tangle of all of the mm-hmm. stuff, which is the other side. You need both, actually, but we're in a position now where nobody believes there's a shiny side to the tapestry, and everything is chaos, and the chaos they call progress.
I think all of us here see that other side, and I think it's not about just sitting and waiting for it to happen. It's about actualizing.
But we don't have as much of an audience, let's say, as the American Idol.
Right, but consciousness is growing. I mean, there's a book that Dr. Hertog and Russell Togg wrote called The End of Suffering. And
subtitle, Fearless Living in Troubled Times.
So what do you mean?
It means that you can bootstrap with your higher awareness and do a lot of things rather than simply sit back and go down with the masses uh-huh. of humanity that want to check out,
right.
want to see everything on the downward spiral, want to tune into the electronic seance mm-hmm. of international television, mm. constantly putting on the brain thought forms of negativity, death, destruction, terrorism. All of this is the false scripting that we need to get beyond.
Mm-hmm.
And so John is right. We've got a lot of serious times ahead, but at the same time, there are those who must and who will take the higher passage, because it's reflected in the earlier ages of mankind that mm-hmm. there have been always those who have been survivalist. Mm-hmm. Who've reached up and been able to bring the light into the darkness.
So what do we do? Tell us.
Well, I do not know much about Egypt, but when we study ancient Chinese, something like I Ching, mm-hmm. it is a advanced mathematics, mm-hmm. and the people are finding that the connection between quantum physics in terms of numbers, mm-hmm. number systems, you can use I Ching symbols to describe all 64. Of elementary particles, and also you see the connection between DNA research and I Ching, numerology. And so how did they tap into that knowledge? Mm-hmm. And it seems to me, evolution of consciousness, kind of one mode of consciousness comes and reaches apex, and then next mode comes and goes like a wave going this way. Mm-hmm. So there's a smaller wave and larger wave. Mm-hmm. And in a larger wave sense, probably the kind of intelligence, the kind of consciousness that was present when the people were able to tap into the knowledge mm-hmm. that was expressed through something like I Ching. Mm-hmm. And that kind of intelligence may have been coming down. Mm-hmm. At the same time, new mode of consciousness mm-hmm. has been rising. Mm-hmm. And this is not exact, but something like left and right brain thing. Mm-hmm. And in some way, this intuitive access to the cosmic knowledge may have declined. Mm-hmm. But now we have been developing a logical, intellection.
Right.
And we have developed this Western civilization based on that. Mm-hmm. Now, in the 21st century, we may have an opportunity to actually revive that ancient mode of knowing, mm-hmm. while not without losing this intellection. So now we can have...
Okay, just intellection is a combination of intuition and intellect. That's his word for intellection, right?
Yes. Yeah, being born in Japan, I have the right to invent any English word I want. But anyway, so this intuitive mode and logical mode, we can maybe have this integration. Mm-hmm. And in some way, all those distractions and chaos and breakdowns we are seeing is like a moment before turbulence, before some kind of synthesis. And that's how I see it. At least seeing in this way has more power. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And acting upon it has more power. Yes.
Well, that's what I get. I mean, we are going back to hopefully this golden age of enlightenment, but it's not just the same place it came from. It's like a higher evolution
exactly.
of the spiral.
Exactly.
I mean,
as the great German philosopher Goethe said, life is the same thing, only in a slightly higher
level
of the spiral.
Yeah, I mean, were you saying stuff like that too?
Yeah, I just wanted to say in relationship to the Golden Age in ancient Egypt, 10,500 BC was the height of the Golden Age as far as being the age of Leo. Mm-hmm. And so now we're 180 degrees opposite that mm-hmm. at the beginning of the millennium as far as the age of Aquarius. Mm-hmm. We have that polarity going on. And what it is that these secret ancient teachings from all the cultures are being revealed for the whole of humanity, because at a certain time, they were only available to a certain amount of people
right.
at a certain status. And now that this knowledge is becoming available to the masses, which is truly what the Age of Aquarius is all about, mm-hmm. self-enlightenment.
You actually wrote a book, Why Astrology Works, right, John?
In the very distant mm-hmm. past, and that the ancient civilizations, Egypt certainly, but others as well, based their entire ceremonial system, the way their calendar, as it were, on astronomical and astrological data, so that they were effectively tuning themselves to the rhythms of the universe, and all ancient civilizations were doing that. We now know. Our own science is now good enough, only just in the last 20 years, to understand how good theirs was. Before that, it looked like superstition.
Right. I mean, I see astrology as a sort of a roadmap for the initiate of self-awareness, self-consciousness, but I think you see something also beyond all that, because in Paul's work, he says, you know, nothing really works, I'm quoting you, because if it worked, it would have worked by now, and we'd all be enlightened. I mean, is that what you'd say?
Well, nothing on the outside as such. Mm-hmm. I don't see it working. I see none of our methods working in any way. Mm-hmm. I think this is working.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm enjoying this. And our different angles. When you talk, I get that. And when I get a lovely deep feeling when you talk. Yes, it's going to be all right. And so, yes, on the outside it hasn't worked. And I think something is working. And one of you was saying, yeah, you've all been saying in a way, I think it's going to get worse and worse and worse until we wake up to the fact, like the millions that came out into the streets of Spain. Mm-hmm. Eventually they said to the government, no, we're not doing that anymore. Mm-hmm. We're coming back. So the government collapsed, we came back. So until enough of us have realized this isn't working, we need to do this. We, no us, no them. We need to say, look, we've had enough now. We want something new. And I'm prepared to do something about it. Mm. Not you have to do something. Because then again, that's me and you. We all need to do something about it, all of us. Mm. And that's what I see in our different ways. And you have to join in too.
Yes, I mean, Natasha, you've been following this thread here.
We can surely say today that the human soul is today individualized enough mm-hmm. to harvest all the efforts that we did during different civilizations, different mm-hmm. cycles. Mm-hmm. And when we harvest our own garden, right after, it seems a mess. It's really a disorder in our garden, externally, but inwardly, I think that we are extremely enriched by all that humanity did through different civilizations, different cycles, and with this richness, now imagine the springtime that we can start. It's just enjoying, and we continue to discover, and imagine all scientists, all doctors with inner vision, with the clairvoyance, with the clairaudience, and no more war, fighting, you are right, I am not right. We will see exactly the same thing, and imagine the creativity that we can bring and maybe enrich the universe. Why not?
That's why we're here. I mean, can you give us a little insight in some of the personal visions? Because you've had visions, you've seen the future. And if you mind sharing it with us, if you don't mind.
It was very special for me because in a very, very beginning of my childhood, I had like a double life during the day and during the night. I always traveled. I had some teachers. I received incredible knowledge. And what was surprising to me, how may I remember all details? You know, for example, they brought me to another galaxy. And they explain what kind of process we go to, we have to go under. And that we will diminish and we will become one atom. But conscious, you will not lose the consciousness. And then we will feel cold, a little bit like in this studio.
Okay, so we're on the right track.
Then there is we are nine people, and there is a teacher, and he explains, I will envelope you by my aura, so don't be worried. Then we will go through a trajectory.
Yeah.
And then again, you will feel a warm and you will become like a normal being. And you will not lose the consciousness. And then you go under all this and then you receive the explanations about that type of things, that kind of things. And then you come back. Then I was a little bit in a school, but I was always like chewing, you know, my dreams.
So what did it show you about the possibilities that we have here within ourselves and within the...
Unlimited. There is no limit.
So we do have some grace happening for us, John, right? I mean, Dr.
Hurt... Well, Natasha has just highlighted in her experiences, Russell Targ, my co-author of the new book, had to demonstrate to the military intelligence community of the United States that consciousness can project itself, retrieve knowledge, and come back. This is called non-local awareness, where we see ourselves connected with everything. And this is one of the factors that he believes led to the conclusion of the Cold War game, the realization that nothing was really locked in, nothing was under the control of any type of monolithic organization that we could interpenetrate. Hence, we would be open citizens if we realize we all share the same database. We all share the same heritage of the human race, and we are all custodians of where we go from here. So in the context of scientific validation of what Natasha and others have done through soul travel, consciousness projection, paraphysics, we realize science and Eastern consciousness have come closer together, and this this greater synthesis that Hira speaks about in his writings that's so important. The global mind has now become aware of its cosmic potential and its citizenship is at hand.
And the other interesting thing that you talk about is accessing the genius in each one of us. So we may have this discussion and we don't know what the outcome is and we don't know what we're accessing, but You know, we're here to tap and awaken everyone's awareness to something new.
This is a time for a change of consciousness. Mm-hmm. But I don't see it as necessarily going the way we would like it at the moment. In fact, I pick up from a lot of us that we're so tired. We've got a suicidal trend there. Mm. As though a lot of people say, let's have it over. On some level, they want it over. And I think that's what we've got to keep looking and uplifting in ourselves and each other. We've got to see this down energy that's happening at the moment is taking us to a certain place down there, and then we can go up with it. And I think it's up to us whether we go up with it. Now, you may see that it's already happened on some level, and I don't see that it's already happened.
I don't either.
I'd like to say in regard to Katrina.
The hurricane, yeah.
Yes, that whole situation in New Orleans is that people reached out in tremendous ways after this.
But the other thing is, I think it's in a downward spiral for some people because they've lost their passion. They've lost their connection to creativity, and this is what you talk about, regaining that juice for living, that life force.
You know, before I just touch upon that, you know, we were talking about Buckminster Fuller in the beginning.
Yes.
And Bucky defines synergy as the behavior of a whole system that is unpredicted by the behaviors of its subsystems,
right,
taken separately from the whole. Which means when people come together and work together, we cannot really predict the outcome of what is going to happen.
Right.
At the same time, as Paul is saying, and I call each individual a singular cosmic destiny, because there's no human, no conscious process that is you beside yourself in the whole history of the universe.
Right.
And the singular cosmic destiny is like there are, in mathematics, there are infinite number of infinities. The same way, it's each singular cosmic destiny is infinity, and which contains the whole. Therefore, when you look at this synergy from outside, many systems come together and we can't predict. But this whole thing actually happens within you. So you have a say in the matter. So from this spiritual cosmic perspective, the singular cosmic destiny, which is our authentic self, contains the whole universe. And each of the singular cosmic destinies that exist. So you are the whole who has a say in the matter of how this synergistic movement may take place in the universe. So that is a very important aspect. Now, when we become aware of ourselves as a singular cosmic destiny. And the best access to that is to find your own passion. And passion is the evolutionary thrust for self-optimization.
Self-optimization means
ongoing expansion, ongoing heightening of your consciousness and expansion of your being in terms of, you know, being aware of that expansion. Because whether we are aware of it or not, we contain whole. But, you know, the amount of self-awareness is kind of limited. Therefore, we don't really see the whole at this point. But once we begin to see this whole, you really realize what Paul is talking about. Everything is in you. And all the sufferings, all the happiness that exists on this planet and the universe is within ourselves.
Right.
So there is no separation whatsoever. Yes.
I would say Prigogine, the Nobel Prize winner, who showed how consciousness can control entropy, gave us a clue of how we have both the downward and upward spiral simultaneously. And as we are a small cosmos within a greater cosmos, we can control this upper ascent if we wish, or we can simply see our energies dissipated into the constant chaos. And so this is the trick, the magic, as well as the higher metaphysic of how art, science, and spirituality combine. It's the total action and synergy that each of us represent together.
Right. I mean, the important part about synergy is that we don't know what it's going to look like.
Yes.
It's unknown. Right. Yeah. We're here to be in the unknown, in the not knowing, in the unaware, in the to be aware, to make it aware. And I don't know what the result of a program like this will be, but hopefully it will spark awareness in ourselves and put it out there to everyone who's watching. Mm. I mean,
yeah, if someone is.
I just wanted to say about the Tao of physics. I remember in that book where they were talking about the infinity of numbers, that everything, no matter what, it comes back to the number one. Mm. Such is the same for physics, mm-hmm. and such is the same for spirituality. Mm-hmm. And I just want to affirm what you said, that the most revolutionary thing that I've read when I began my path was Swami Muktananda, who said, everything you need is within you, but everyone is looking outside of themselves. And once you have that realization, it is so powerful, which connects with your whole thing of this oneness and that we all are connected. Mm-hmm.
There's also something about Schwaller de Lubitsch, who John West has studied about Egypt, who getting us back to our connection to the source.
That's the whole point of what everybody's been talking about.
Right.
Schwaller coined the phrase "return to the source."
Right.
And that is what the objective of the exercise is. Except that first you have to recognize that there's a source.
Uh-huh.
B, you have to recognize that it's possible to return,
uh-huh.
and C, you have to take the first step.
Right.
And the first step is the tough one.
And that is what you talk about, in a sense, getting rid of the boundaries that are in the way to the essential self or to the maximum potential.
Somebody was talking about education.
Yeah.
And you educating right in the womb. That's the thing. We're educated away from who we are. Mm-hmm. Our creativity is not supported. Mm-hmm. The source is in here. The kingdom of God is within. Thou art that, the Tao, the hidden harmony. Mm-hmm. It's all here. And we keep looking out, mm-hmm. and who's going to do it for us. And nobody's doing it for us. Mm. And so it's combining and saying, come on, we'll do it together. We'll do it together.
Mm.
And regenerating this part of the brain that's atrophied. It's gone to sleep because we've over-empowered the other side with all our conditioning of what's possible and impossible. And it's not true.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're allowed and not allowed, depending on which religion you're following or which country or which, anything is possible. And that means you sitting there right now, not tomorrow with what you're going to do with it, but right now, anything is possible if we just open up to the impossible.
The ancient Japanese term to think, kami kairu, means to return to the source.
Ah, right.
Kami
right.
is the invisible source of being. There are three meanings. Mm-hmm. Kami means the invisible source of being. The second is the divine light of intelligence. And the third means to come, which means to the interaction of yin and yang.
Yes.
And when I say think cosmically, I'm talking about thinking in that sense, you know, to return to the source of your being,
mm-hmm.
where this divine intelligence is present.
Mm.
And then let this divine intelligence return to this world as you being a vehicle for the thinking.
Mm.
And so it is the first step is a meditative process of returning to the source. The second step is a creative source of the divine intelligence coming forth through you and as yourself.
Mm.
And so it's very interesting that the ancient Japanese people realize what it means to think. The thinking
right.
is not just logical thinking.
Yeah.
It is intuitive, imaginative, inspirational, and also it contains feeling and willing.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no division between feeling, thinking, and willing. So you are thinking one thing, you're willing another thing. There's
right.
no fragmentation, mm-hmm. really unity of the feeling, thinking, and willing.
Mm. Yes.
And in Buddhism, we say those people who are not able to think cannot really feel. And that's what they mean by this saying.
Right.
Yeah.
That's good. You think so? Yes.
And, just to connect these levels, the future parents can accomplish incredible work and accelerate all process of unifications horizontally and vertically.
Mm.
And just a little bit maybe childish image. I was always impressed how little of yeast We need to make the bread. So why a few people, if they are really conscious, they can become the yeast for all humanity, and then we will have enough of bread.
To rise up, yeah. We're here to rise up.
We need some West, too.
Says we end up with one. But you have to be careful you don't end up with Wonder Bread.
No, but I do.
You need the right flour, too.
But also, returning to Egypt, something that Shwala says, that things are produced within the context. He says that sound made the ear. Mm-hmm. The
yes.
river makes
Brilliant.
The riverbed. So
right.
consciousness makes what we are, in a sense. I mean, how would you bring that analogy forward?
Well, consciousness, I mean, sound makes the ear. This is, I mean, that's brilliant. And
yeah.
light makes the eye. This
yes.
is brilliant.
Yes, so we are a reflection of the world itself.
I mean, consciousness actually is the indivisible. Mm. I mean, it's not intelligence. Intelligence is an aspect of consciousness. So
right.
when we're talking about consciousness, we're really talking about the ineffable and the indescribable.
Yeah.
And we have to be careful with the terminology, because consciousness in and of itself produces everything that we have through by agencies that we probably don't really understand, and our aim is to get back there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not consciousness, it's will that gets us back there, and consciousness is the goal, as it were. But it's not an operation, as it were. It's not a process itself.
It's a consciousness. Being.
It is all.
Yeah. In your experiences, tell us.
My work with the Nag Hammadi texts, which are the ancient Coptic texts of Egypt, there is a concept of reconnection with the higher self, which requires a focus and a will to go along with this creative side of consciousness. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
One has to exercise. In fact, many schools in Buddhism emphasize the fact that, yes, you can teach the problems of just going through life in the gameful chaos, but you have to take an exercise of letting go and letting the divine come through.
And in your personal experience, because you've also had your own mystical, higher level experience, can you bring some of that
I've had
into?
Some paraphysical experiences of being able to into what some would call future scenarios.
Yeah, tell us about
well,
the future.
One specific area that John Anthony would be interested in, an Egyptologist in general, was the remarkable projection I had of my psyche into the Great Pyramid of Egypt, where I saw there was a third chamber connected with the King's and Queen's chamber on the inside. And I describe this in my book, which I published 33 years ago. At the present time, the Egyptians are looking for what they believe to be a connecting chamber between the chamber of the king and the chamber of the queen.
So how will that connect to evolving our consciousness?
It means basically we can realize in the touchstones of history, whether we call them great temples or tombs or libraries of knowledge, there are certain aspects of resonance that our mind can pick up on, retrieve information, be it scenario abstracts, come back, record this, and then give it to a ground team to go in and see for real if this is something real or imaginary, something that would add to the construct of how Egypt represents the whole planetary field of knowledge. It is not simply a province of only classical Egyptology, but as John Anthony West so brilliantly did, was to show it really is a stepping stone to reconcile the missing pieces, not only of Egypt, but also counterparty throughout the world and other cultures.
So how do we take that information and move what we're doing here forward to the next level?
Well, this requires a new map of consciousness, of recognizing that history can be understood in terms of a larger synergy of where we all share basically the same building blocks, recognizing in particular with the Great Pyramid as a model that it is a geophysical building block of evolution, not only here but in all cultures.
And what did you get?
You say we need this new consciousness. I think it's there. And up to now we've destroyed it. Mm. We've destroyed the creativity with our education and our conditioning. And it's there. And these new children that are coming up, they're new. There's something else.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was remembering this study that's been done on the fetus in the womb, that if the mother is in a dangerous condition mm-hmm. around her, it develops the more primitive brain. Mm-hmm. And if they're in a safe part, it's mm-hmm. So if they're brought up in love and caring right from the womb, we've got a new human being coming mm-hmm. That's in all got it a fresh contact mm-hmm. with the source, and it's not going to get damaged by our education system. And this, we're going to nurture this and bring these new beings that are more directly connected. Got that connection and that stronger connection, and bring it into this dimension.
Mm. And stay and that brings us back to what you began. We'll stay connected to this essential self. We don't lose that connection
right.
in that case.
Right. And we expand it, we develop it, we take it to a new level.
Mm. You know, Ellen, what I want to say is that from teaching arts and crafts to young people, you know, I've taught all grades, but I used to focus on age K through 6. And I used to teach, I teach sculpture, but basket weaving. I noticed that the first graders were the best basket weavers. Mm-hmm. That after the first grade, the kids would begin to lose their creativity. Mm. And people were always amazed, how would first graders, how could they weave the best baskets? Because people felt that they didn't have that focus. Mm-hmm. But actually what the educational system does in this country is that at a very early age, we're talking about 6 years old, they begin to shut down the creativity of the students. Mm-hmm. And that just begins to continue through the whole educational process. Mm-hmm. When you get into the higher educational institutions of learning, such as college, you have young people that have no clue as to their soul self, their passion, mm-hmm. their purpose. Their creativity has been completely shut down. And I just wanted to make one comment in relationship to the heart, that as far as this higher level of consciousness is concerned, that is through the purification of the heart. This is how we are going to evolve, getting away the anger, the greed, the hatred, the separation. We have to let all this go, so that because the heart is the gateway to the higher levels of consciousness, we must be in tune with our heart, what it really wants, and be able to display compassion.
Mm. Do you know, like Dr. Hartog and Dr. West, exemplify a new kind of scholar, uh-huh. at the same time a new kind of learning. Mm. And learning up to this point has been basically an information accumulation. Mm-hmm. And somehow you are taught how to organize the information. So everything is actually conditioning. Dead. You have more and Dead. More and more information, and you learn how to organize this information. Mm-hmm. But when you meet, you know, someone like Dr. Hartog or Dr. West, they have a connection to the source. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I call this tri-formational learning. Mm-hmm. So one is information learning, which is important.
Yeah, you need
but then there is a bad English coinage, uh-huh. metaformation. You know, meta is Greek and uh-huh. formation is Latin. But uh-huh. anyway, let's use metaformational uh-huh. learning, uh-huh. where you go into the source of your being, mm-hmm. into the higher source. And then there's a dance between this information and metaformation. Mm-hmm. And then you not only ongoingly create a new framework to organize the information, mm-hmm. but you also get in touch with a real source of knowledge at the same time. So then when this dance happens, the transformation of knowledge, mm-hmm. and you know the amazing power of your research and your somehow exemplify mm. the possibility for new learning and new scholarship and also new education. Yeah, and this metaformation is completely missing in our educational system, right. where we can be in touch with the source of knowledge and source of who we are.
Yeah, but put it in a nutshell, modern education is to the mind what AIDS is to the immune system. The more exposure you have to it, the more likely it is to be lethal. But just yeah. as with HIV, just because you've been infected with it doesn't mean you come down with AIDS. Mm-hmm. You can not do that, as a matter of fact. But it's basically deadly.
Well, you could overcome your conditioning. I mean, what were you going to say?
Just what you said. It's exact. Because now, to be individualized, we needed a lot of elements. And this is instruction mm-hmm. or information. Mm-hmm. So a lot of information. And now how to put them together and how to do a synthesis of it. Mm-hmm. But the synthesis is the best way to do it, to imitate who did it already. So there is no effort. So instruction and education are two different sides of what we need. So today, we know that the parents are the first educators, but especially the mother, because the child is connected through his brain. Three quarters of brain, one part of our brain, is connected to the mother, and just one quarter to the father. So so this is, the parents will be the models, the examples, and the synthesis will be done extremely simply, no more a lot of instruction and information, but through the synthesis you are connected to the source. And we surely will transform our educational system. We will include the science of vibrations and the science of etheric body. And then we can heal everything immediately, we can understand immediately, we can see it completely as a whole, and so it will be just a wonderful work.
Great.
Yes, I mean, thank you. So the synthesis, I mean, if I could synthesize some of what we said or what we've agreed upon here, is first that you got to stay away from formal education, you know, that there's a synergy that's coming together that we do not know what that's going to look like, even from this four position that we have, even though we're on the sort of edge of consciousness, we don't know what it's going to look like. And it'll probably be something greater than we could imagine, because it's the unknown. So we're here, we're all there, all seven of us right at the edge of that envelope looking forward, which is exciting, because anything is possible. And the other thing is to be the creative individual thinker.
Yes.
And,
I call it a PhD, permanent head damage.
Permanent head damage.
Where a person learns so much in one side of the brain that he or she completely excludes the other side.
Right.
And that's been the problem, is these so-called ivory tower scholars, the classical Egyptologists, who pontificated and said this is the situation, and they've inhibited, as it were, the fuller educational experience, which we're looking at.
So if we're going to leave on an up note, though, if we're going to end and kind of surmise it in a positive, exciting way, what would you say, Paul?
It's happening. Yeah, and I think this is a great illustration of it happening. We're coming together, and I think we've all got this bright view that here's this possibility.
Yeah.
Now it's up to you.
Yes, and up to up here to keep moving forward into being creative. I mean, the thing that's unique
and having fun.
Yeah,
essential to have fun, not to get too serious about it.
If we put 50 pianos in one room,
yes,
and we touch just one note on one piano, all others will resonate exactly the same.
Yeah.
So maybe today we can touch one note, and for sure, tomorrow and the day after and the day after, it will resonate.
Yeah.
And any closing comments from you?
Well, God being a creativity of the universe, it created creativity itself. Mm-hmm. And that is human beings. And now we became a co-creator of the universe. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of the say in the matter of the future of this universe.
Yeah.
So let's have fun making a difference together.
And use the material.
Exactly.
Be that creator. I mean, the thing that's about all of us here is that we are individual thinkers. We have not been conditioned by what's out there. We've been able somehow to think for ourselves. How would you say
in the avalanche of new knowledge, we realize that we as a humanity collectively are beginning to take our baby steps into the cosmos. And there's a fantastic future if we lay claim to it. And I believe we should lay claim to being cosmic citizens and understand the greater picture that has brought us together, and that positive pulse, that unconditional love must be with us at all times to overcome these not so unpleasant situations that we have to work through.
Would you say that, Janaba?
I would say that, you know, self-knowledge is the key, and that it's very important that we realize that it's much deeper. Things are much deeper than it appears.
Yes.
And that the Divine Mother is watching over us.
And thank you for being here representing her. Thank you. And John.
Well, I always, as usual, come at it from the negative point of view.
It's okay.
With the positive through the negative. It's known as constructive destruction, which is that basically we have a society in that is bent upon pushing our buttons mm-hmm. all of the time. Mm-hmm. And whoever presses your buttons is your master. Mm-hmm. And once you recognize that, you're not obliged to be a slave. Mm-hmm.
Thank you all. And we're here to move forward. We're here to... You are here, and all of us that have been on this panel are part of this evolutionary thrust forward into something new. So if you've gotten something from this discussion, please let me know. You can email me at newrealities@earthlink.net. I'm Alan Steinfeld. This is New Realities. On the panel tonight has been Paul Lowe, who travels around the world giving workshops, lectures, and has fun. And thank you, Paul, for being here. Natasha Kolazar has IDEAL, the Institute for the Development of Education, Art, and Leisure.
Thank you. Traveling all around the world, the same as Paul.
Yes, yes. Ahiko's also traveling all around. Maybe we'll meet up somewhere around the world. What are you working on now?
9 months of intensive study of self and the universe at the same time.
Beautiful.
Yes.
And Dr. Hertog, you will be...
I'm lecturing with Russell Targ
yes.
On our new work mm-hmm. on higher consciousness. Mm-hmm. And my wife and I will be working on film studies that mm-hmm. we have ongoing in Africa and mm-hmm. Asia. So we're looking forward to new mm-hmm. films that we can share with our world audience.
Mm-hmm. Janaba.
Yes, I'm working on empowering people with self-knowledge. Mm-hmm.
And John West.
I'm mostly working on putting a panel of geologists to get over to Egypt to settle mm. this tedious matter of water weathering once and for all and turn all of history upside down.
Mm. Right, and discover our true selves. I mean,
well,
what I want to close with is...
What
are you working on next time?
What am I working on? I'm working on creating new realities. That's the show, and that's what we've done. I just want to end with the quote from the Oracle at Delphi. It said, "Know thyself." And what they've just discovered, you will know the cosmos and the gods. So here we are in the cosmos. Thank you for watching. This has been a very enjoyable panel, and any comments I welcome. My name's Alan Steinfeld, and you can call me even at 212-473-6388. Thank you for tuning in. I'll see you next time. Thank
you. Bravo! Bravo.
Shalom and shalom, Yahweh shalom, Nazi shalom.